97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the stresses of coaching. Our guests are Dr. Jim Taylor, an internationally recognized sports psychologist who has consulted many teams and athletes in multiple sports. We're contacting him in San Francisco. And Dr. Damon Burton, a professor of sports psychology at the University of Idaho, who has written books about competitive anxiety in sports and the psychology of coaching. He's in Moscow, Idaho. Gentlemen, we have two high-profile NFL coaches, John Fox and Gary Kubiak, having to miss games because of medical conditions. Fox is still sidelined. Jim, how much does stress play into these situations specifically, and in general, the stresses of coaching? How much stress are these guys under?
Well, I can't speak specifically to these two because there are physical problems. I understand at least one of them was congenital. But there's no doubt that being a professional or a collegiate major sport coach is a highly stressful occupation, and for a number of reasons. First of all, the long hours, the travel, the expectations and pressure from owners, media, fans, and it takes its toll psychologically and physically, for sure.
And Damon, it's not just John Fox and Gary Kubiak. You can think back in the past several years, Urban Meyer and on and on and on of coaches who have had physical conditions, that physical situations that some say have clearly been related to stress.
Yeah, the research that's out there suggests that during competition, coaches who have been monitored in terms of their heart rate are demonstrating near maximum heart rates sitting on the bench or walking on the sidelines. So clearly part of stress is that physical response as well as how people mentally interpret that. And on top of that, I think Jim mentioned a number of important factors, but coaches are also helping professionals, and sometimes, unfortunately, they take much better care of their athletes than they do of themselves. They don't get enough sleep, they don't eat right, they don't get enough exercise, and if you cut too many corners there, that can certainly have a negative effect on your health.
Jim, Larry Fedora is the head coach of the university here, the football team here, and he is a noted Red Bull drinker. So, you know, it just goes on and on of the what coaches will do to keep themselves alert, to keep themselves in the game, working these long hours. Is this endemic of the coaching profession?
It certainly is, and your Red Bull comment is not a great recommendation for coaching, because it means that he and many other coaches are needing to basically medicate themselves legally, in this case, with stimulants to keep themselves going. Because, again, long hours, lack of sleep, travel, tremendous amount of responsibilities, time pressure, plus just their jobs are every moment at the collegiate and professional level hanging over their heads. And plus, they are in such a public arena. Imagine you're a professor. Imagine you have to teach your class in front of 100,000 fans, 100,000 students, who are all going to judge you by cheering or yelling at you based upon their perception of how your lecture went. The pressure they are under, the stress they're under, is phenomenal, and there's no real solution to it, because you know, Damon said they're in the helping profession, coaches are, but they're also in business, and their employees where there is a bottom line. And so that alone, aside from the egos associated with cheering for your favorite team, that adds a new level of stress to their lives.
Damon, I want to touch on this warrior mentality. Certainly for athletes, we did a conversation recently about athletes who play hurt. And it seems to translate to coaches, not so much in I'll play even if I'm injured, but the idea of no one is going to outwork me. And I've heard many, many coaches say that or something to that effect down through the years. Is that sort of their equivalent of the warrior mentality?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. And obviously most of those coaches have been athletes to begin with. So they had that warrior mentality as an athlete, and they've certainly retained it as a coach. I think on top of that, if coaches are in a program where they're not getting top talent, the obvious way of compensating is just putting in longer hours and working harder. I'm a graduate of Kansas State, and I've followed closely Bill Snyder over the years, who is rumored to maybe be the most serious person about outworking everyone. Puts in phenomenal number of hours, and that has to catch up with you. In Snyder's case, he burned out, took 3 years off, but then decided to come back. So I again, Dick Vermeil, another really high-profile coach who burned out at the professional level, was out of coaching for almost two decades, but it did eventually come back, but only at a point where he felt like he could actually manage his tendencies to just work phenomenal hours that put his health in danger.
And Jim, something that you sort of alluded to in the previous answer is that all the things that the coaches have to concern themselves with, not just the performance on Saturday afternoon on the football field, but recruiting and dealing with boosters and all that kind of stuff. It seems that the off season, that's kind of a misnomer. There is no off season.
Oh, there is no off season. There is no off time, really. They are constantly on, and you hear stories about Belichick in New England staying up till 3, 4 in the morning. And so this takes a massive toll psychologically, emotionally, socially. The divorce rate among coaches is, from what I understand, very high. And physically, you see a lot of obese coaches out there because they don't have time to exercise, and they're traveling and they eat poorly. They're eating when they can, whatever they can. So it's really fundamentally a very toxic environment for a person to be working in.
We'll be back with our guests Jim Taylor and Damon Burton. Our discussion is the stresses of coaching on Sports Focus right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking today about the stresses of coaching. And our guests are Dr. Jim Taylor and Dr. Damon Burton. Damon, Jack Del Rio is the interim head coach at the Broncos, and he took over for John Fox when Fox went down. And I thought Del Rio had an interesting comment saying that things like this, you know, medical conditions, that's just part of getting a little bit older. I that sounds to me like a guy who's in denial. Because, yes, we all face things as we get older, but not all of us work 100-hour weeks.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And, again, just the cumulative stress over so many years of working those 100-hour weeks, year-round virtually, as we've talked about, does take its toll. In John Fox's case, I've had the same surgery as John. had a heart valve replaced. It's a congenital condition where that tricuspid valve has a couple of the cusps that are, you're born with them joined together, and eventually, again, after your heart beats millions of times, it does have an effect of deteriorating the valve. So I don't think that was so much responsible for his condition, but it certainly may have sped up the damage and created the requirement that they had to do the surgery a little bit earlier than it might have been done with a similar person with a similar issue that wasn't putting in those hours and wasn't having to deal with that level of stress.
Jim, I wanted to make an allusion to sort of an analogy that people have used in the past, and along the lines of, do all fishermen lie, or do only liars fish? So the question I have is, do all type A personalities tend toward professions like this, or which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the personality of the coach that leads to the stress, or is it the demands of the job, or is it a combination of those things?
Well, invariably, it's an interaction of some sort. No doubt the coaches that reach the professional or high-level collegiate ranks, they are incredibly driven, intense, competitive people. And so you then put them in an environment that is intensely competitive and driven, then it creates a perfect storm for a pretty darn unhealthy lifestyle. And so the reality is that, you know, they choose this world to be in, and then the world exacerbates it. Because let's also be realistic, there's some pretty big upsides, at least superficially, to being a high-level coach. You're famous, you make a lot of money, you have a lot of power and authority, and yet that power and authority is really quite tenuous, because you can be gone at any moment, and often the decisions that are made, let's say a team is losing, they're not going to fire the entire team, even though that's probably what should be done, because they're the ones playing poorly out on the field. So the burden of that uncertainty and the unpredictability simply adds to it. So there are so many factors, both internal, psychological, and emotional, and personality, as well as external. The nature of the job and all the exposure and attention and pressure creates this environment that is really not healthy for these people, these coaches.
Damon, I wanted to follow up on that, the whole idea of personalities. You know, you see some coaches on the sidelines and screamers. I call them the screamers. They look like they are about to stroke out at any moment. They're angry with their assistant coaches, with their players, with the officials, with life in general. Is there anything to suggest that those who are highly driven and who express that in those ways are more successful than those who are a little calmer down through the years? Have any of your studies looked into anything along those lines?
They have, and we have no evidence of that. I think what we do have some very strong evidence for is that coaches tend to coach the way they were coached. And they believe that it worked for them, and so they're going to utilize the same strategies. So, a lot of coaches played for coaches that were yellers and screamers, and they believe that's the way they should coach. So occasionally when you see a Pete Carroll who takes a little bit different approach, those are coaches that are really going out on a limb. They're doing something very different. They're not coaching necessarily the way they were coached. And I think in those cases, we've seen in Pete Carroll's case at least, he's been very successful. His athletes have fun. They still play hard. He does a great job when he was at the collegiate level of attracting really high-level talent, because athletes don't always like playing for yellers and screamers. And with coaching education today, we're trying to break that mold, but it's very hard, particularly with coaches at the collegiate level and above.
And Jim, do you sense any of that changing? If not for the sake of the health of the coaches, for the sake of the health of their programs, because it seems that more and more of the millennial generation, they don't take to that kind of input. They take to the more nurturing kind of input. So do you sense any sort of shift, or is it pretty much the type A guys are going to be type A one way or the other?
Yeah, I don't see any evidence of a shift. As Damon indicates, there are certain coaches out there, and I think you see more of them at the NBA. I think basketball is a slightly different coaching culture. But overall, this is a little bit cynical, but professional collegiate major sports are businesses, and it is driven by less concern for the athletes, less of a concern for the coaches, and driven by the almighty dollar. And that means that the players and the coaches are considered commodities and not as people necessarily. So, you know, they're talk about this program or that program to help the players, help the coaches win these situations. But overall, I don't see a whole lot of change going on culturally at this level of sport. I think it's going to be a function of different coaches coming in and who have different styles. Because in addition to Damon's point about coaches coach the way they were coached, coaches also coach based on who they are, their personality types. And that leaders can't be someone who's not a rager can't be a rager on the field. So are there going to be coaches who get into the field with different personalities, who provide different templates of how to lead and coach? That's certainly possible. But I'm certainly not optimistic about seeing a major change, even in light of some of these recent health challenges from some of the coaches.
And we'll be back with our discussion about stresses in coaching in just a moment.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. Our guests today are Jim Taylor and Damon Burton. We're talking about stresses in coaching. And Damon, I wanted to follow up on what Jim was saying just before the break. If a certain number of coaches, some sort of critical mass of coaches, were to come into play who had great success taking a different approach, not working themselves to death, not screaming at their players, not doing what a lot of the type A personalities do, do you think that would lead to a rethinking of the way to get to success?
Oh, absolutely. I think coaches are very imitative. So if they see a success model that is different from what they're using and that seems to be a better way to be successful, I think they're by all means going to take it. The problem is that you have to have that critical mass of people who are doing it a different way and are also successful. Again, like Jim, I'm not tremendously optimistic that we're going to see that anytime soon.
Jim,
but not at the upper levels of sport, I think. I think there's a lot of coaching education going on at the U Sport and high school levels, and I think we are seeing some positive changes there, but not much evidence in collegiate sport and beyond.
Jim, let's follow up on that. At the high school level, at the youth level, these coaches are new to the idea of coaching, new to working with young players, and they perhaps coach what they see on TV. So it seems like a vicious cycle that it would be hard to break, because they see success. This guy's having success by doing what he's doing, working himself to death, being a screamer. So if I want to be successful with my team and maybe move up, I'm going to do the same thing. Is that sort of the conundrum that we're facing here?
Yeah, actually, that's the media thought I had as well, that young coaches are just like young athletes. They role model the successful coaches just like players do to successful players. And Charles Barkley, the former 76er, famously said, "I'm not a role model," but whether he likes it or not, he was a role model. And just like the Belichicks and other very successful coaches are role models as well. So if a young coach who's ambitious wants to be successful, they look to the successful coaches and see what they do. And so they, you know, they yell, work unbelievably long hours, they put in the time, and so they think, well, that's what I need to do to be successful. And that's the reality. The reality is that's true. And so I think that the culture gets passed down. I think another really important point is that the pressures of professional and college sports are trickling down. And you look at high school football in Texas, or basketball in parts of the East, and kids are getting kids and coaches in high school and even below are getting on ESPN for games. And so there is this trickle down effect of the pressure and the demands and the attention at the lower and lower levels. So which makes it even harder to change the culture, because it's starting at the top and it's ending at the bottom, and it's feeding itself as the coaches from the high school and level work their way up to the coaches in coaching in the college and the pros.
Very interesting discussion, gentlemen. We thank you. That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests Jim Taylor and Damon Burton. Thanks also to producer Justin Blankenship and engineer Gary Kirk. Thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.